Okay, so we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And we continue to thank Him for the grace. We know by the time we come to the end of the week, we know God has helped us, God has strengthened us, God has given us wisdom, His help has been upon us. And that's when you know you're carried by the wings of grace, you're carried by the wings of the Spirit. And you know, when the Bible says that the one that is born again will be like the wind bloweth where it lists, and no one knows where it comes from. For us to be like that wind that is carried by the wind, we just need to be light. For you to be carried by the wind, you need to position yourself in the alignment with the direction of the wind. That means we sit, we wait, we hear, we are watchful. You know, we've been praying in the Spirit. We are watchful. We are staying in that place of waiting to hear from God. We are taking our stand as watchmen, as intercessors, as people who will stay and keep the watches, keep the times, keep the schedules. And as we do that, then we know that God is able to blow His wind of His Spirit, and then we do not miss our times and seasons. You know, any time that you learn to be disciplined, to be by the feet of Jesus, to be consistent in the disciplines, then you develop a sensitivity of your spirit. Your spirit becomes sensitive to the voice of God, because many times the voice of God comes in a soft whisper. It comes in a softness that it is so easy to ignore. And it's so easy to miss it. But yet those that find His words, those that find His life, they find life. And so we are called to that place of prayer, to that place of communion, to that place of consistency, because it is divine direction that will guarantee our prosperity. It is divine direction that will guarantee that which God has prepared for us, that we shall not miss it, we shall experience it, and we shall walk in the fullness of the blessing of God. So today we still in Ephesians chapter 6, and we need to look at this aspect of the door of utterance. You know, when Paul was praying and asking the Ephesian churches to pray for him, and he was telling them, let us pray for all the saints, you know. And he says that let us be with all perseverance, with all supplication, and let us be watchful as we pray for the saints, because it is important to pray for the saints. And what did Paul pray for the saints? He prayed two main prayers that are listed, actually maybe three. One is always thanksgiving. He always says, I thank my God and Father that, you know, ever since I heard of your faith, I make mention of you in my prayer. So Paul will always give a prayer of thanksgiving. Then number two, he'll always pray that God will give the church the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And we say that this is the prayer that every believer must keep praying for themselves. Pray that each and every day, God, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And I tell you, when God will answer you, because God says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. God who gives generously to all without finding fault. If anyone asks, let him not doubt, because he that doubts is like the one that looks at his face in a mirror and forgets it. So if you ask God for wisdom, especially the spirit of wisdom and revelation, God is going to do it. And when He does it, then the scriptures become open to you. You can think about it, the disciples, they were not understanding the scriptures. And then Jesus comes to them, and the Bible tells us that He opened their understanding, that they understood the scriptures, that they understood that the Christ had to suffer and to die under wicked men and then to be raised again on the third day. So there is always an understanding that God opens the mind of the believers, that the scriptures become open to you and you are able to understand. So as you pray to people, as you speak to people, pray also that God will open the eyes of their understanding. Pray that God will give them that revelation to have their hearts opened. and their minds, that they are no longer blinded by the wicked one, by the evil one, that they may understand. You might preach the greatest of sermons, but unless people's hearts are opened, and unless their hearts are opened, that they will not have understanding. So my prayer is always that as you listen, that God will give you understanding, that you may understand the mystery of the gospel, you know, the mystery of the fellowship, the communion that we have in God, the unity that God wants to dwell in man. God's desire is that we be his temple. He has made us his temple, yet many of us do not have that revelation to understand what does it mean that your body is a temple of God, that God was pleased to have all his fullness, to dwell in bodily form in Christ Jesus. And yet also he says, I pray that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. That means that he might be rooted and grounded in love, that he may have understanding of the love of God, the love of Christ, its breadth, its depth, its height, its width, that he might know this love that surpasses human understanding, surpasses knowledge. And when you understand it, then you will be filled with all the fullness of God in you. So God wants all the fullness of God to dwell in you. Just as the same way the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in bodily form in Christ Jesus, God wants this fullness of Christ to dwell in you. And so when you understand this, then now you understand why Paul is crying out and he's saying, please, and pray for me that the door of utterance, he says that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This is Ephesians 6, verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, or ambassador in bonds, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You see, when you dig deeper into this word utterance, it is slightly different from the utterance that was given on the day of Pentecost. The utterance that was given in the day of Pentecost is the Bible says that they spoke in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. The word there is different from the word that is used here. The word that is used here is the word logos. Utterance may be given to me. Now, when you try to look at the word logos here, you will wonder why was it not used the word utterance that means just speaking out, expression, declaring out, having speech, you know, that people will see all this vocabulary that you're using. He was not referring to vocabulary here. But if you look at the word, it is the divine expression of the Christ. The word logos is what John uses to describe the Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. That means in the beginning was the logos, and the logos was with God, and the logos is God. That means here he's trying to bring the perfect union of the Word of God and the Spirit expressed in human form, and that is God expressed in man, all the wisdom, all the power of God dwelling in a man. And this is how the Logos was made flesh. So the perfect wisdom of God, the perfect power of God is expressed in Greek as logos, and this is the expression of Christ. So when he says that utterance may be given to me, he's trying to say that please pray for me that whenever I open my mouth, I may be able to declare the mysteries of Christ, to be able to clearly express who Christ is. Remember, Paul is one who was caught up into the third heavens, where he had inexpressible things that it is not permitted for him to utter. Not that it is not permitted, but it is a place where the people are not in a place of understanding to hear. You see, Jesus tells his disciples, my brothers, my children, I have so much to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will take from me and speak to you that which I want to communicate with you. He will not speak of his own, but he will take from me and speak to you. So when the utterance comes, it is when we are able to really express this Christ, this mystery of Christ, this mystery of what God has worked out in Christ, that he brought him, God himself became a man, he died for us, and we died with him, he was raised up, we were raised with him, he ascended and he sat him at the right hand of the Father, and he sat us together with him, far above all thrones, all powers, all dominions, and every name that is to be named in this world and in the age to come. So there is this unsearchable riches of Christ that Paul says that I wish that every time that I open my mouth that I may declare to you the unsearchable riches of Christ, the unsearchable riches of the Logos, of the divine life, of the divine expression of life. And utterance really is where God takes over your vocal cords. You know, there are times when you're speaking to people and you know that even that which you are saying does not come from you. Because for you, maybe you had made a preparation to say something, to preach on this topic. But you see, when utterance is given, even you yourself, you know clearly that this was not me. It can be in the office, it can be in your workplace, it can be in business, it can be a pitch before people. But you see, in that very moment, it becomes the very life of God bubbling through you and speaking through you. Remember when Jesus said that you shall be brought before kings, before rulers, before soldiers, and in that very moment, do not worry what to say, because as you speak it, as you open your mouth, words shall be given to you. That means you shall be taught what to say. So there are things that come in the realm of being taught, that even as you speak into people, you know clearly that this is an utterance, that this did not come from my learning, this did not come from my experience, but this is something that I have been taught, that I am taught even as I speak it. And there's a boldness that comes when you know that you're not speaking of yourself, but you're speaking from a place of utterance. And this is a place where you are revealing Christ. You are demystifying Christ. Paul says that while I was with you, I sought to know nothing except Christ crucified. I sought to preach to you nothing except to reveal to you Christ, so that you might understand what are the riches, what are the limitless blessings that God has prepared. And this is the place where the Spirit teaches us, because the Bible tells us that we do not speak with words of human wisdom, but we speak by words that are by the Spirit, by the wisdom of the Spirit, speaking spiritual words taught by the Spirit. There is an expression that you teach that even you yourself, it is important that you record it, that you go back and listen again. Why? Because at that point, it was not you speaking, but God speaking through you. Let's look at examples of people who spoke by the expression of the utterance. Think about Peter on the day of Pentecost. Everyone is wondering what has happened. Who are these people? Why are they drunk in the morning? Why are they speaking in all these languages? They say they have had much wine. Then Peter, standing up, the Bible says, he speaks by the Spirit and he declares that, men of Israel, I want to tell you that these men are not drunk as you think, but these men are speaking by the Spirit. This is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that in those days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your young men and your daughters shall prophesy. So now, when we start to declare the doors of utterance, when we start to speak utterance, we are prophesying. Why? Because we are releasing the words of the Spirit. We are releasing the words of Christ that are coming forth, not from our own understanding, but God is releasing it. So Peter is able to demystify what is happening on the day of Pentecost to the church. He tells them, he goes through the history of the church, he goes through the times of David, then he tells them that this Jesus, whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And the Bible says, and the people were cut to the heart, and they asked, What must we do, brethren? Then he tells them, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall receive the forgiveness of sins. So you see, that was a moment of expression where utterance was given. You cannot say that this is something that Peter had, that he had been learning. No, in that very moment, God was able to bring to his understanding, to bring to his vocal cords, the expression to interpret that move of God. It's just like when someone speaks in tongues and an utterance is given in tongues, then in that very moment, you understand what that person has said. So you also, as you open your mouth, then you are releasing the same life. You're releasing the same words. You're interpreting to the people the meaning of that utterance. Now, this is what we call the expression of the divine life of Christ, the Logos. And this is what Paul is praying. He's saying, I pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may be able to declare the mystery of the gospel. Remember, we said mystery, these are things, these are truths that are given to those who have been initiated, to those who have been brought to understanding, to those who have been brought to the truth. There are things that we try to speak. That's why you were saying that there is a wisdom that I speak among those that who are wise. There are those that I speak among those who are mature. But, you know, to others, I cannot speak the same. So there is a wisdom that God releases to the mature. And many times that even when we speak, there are things that we speak to the mature. There are things that the mature understand, that you understand more than even what I have said. Why? Because it is given to you to understand. The disciples asked, Lord, why do you speak to them in parables? He tells them it was not given to them to understand, but it is given to you to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. And when you're given the secrets of the kingdom of God, the more you have, the more you are given. The less you have, even the little that you have is taken away. So desire to be one that knows. Think about also, again, Peter, again, standing before, you know, when he's being questioned about why did he, you know, raise the cripple, on what power they did. What do Peter and John do? They speak boldly. And the Bible says that when these men saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they reasoned that this man had been with Jesus. When you have been with Christ, when you have been with him, remember Jesus said he called the 12 to be with him, that they might be with him, that he might send them. When you have been with Christ, then there is a certain boldness of the Spirit that God gives you. Why? Because when we are in Christ, we have access. We are no longer veiled. The ministry of the Spirit is not one that makes us veiled like Moses. We have a certain boldness because we have a hope that we have direct access to the Father. When you close your mind, when you close your heart, you know, the door, when you shut that door and you close yourself into thy closet and you picture yourself before the very throne of the Father, you know that you have access to him and you're able to receive from him, and you're able to give to men that which God has given you. Think about Stephen. Stephen, he's brought before the Sanhedrin, and the Bible says they accused him. They brought false witnesses because they could not resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. And as they looked at him, the Bible says that his face was changed to be like that of an angel. And then he starts to speak and tells the men of Israel. He takes them through the history of Abraham, of Joseph, of, you know, of going through the wilderness, of coming to the promised land, of Moses, of David, the patriarch. And that is not wisdom that comes from man. Those are doors of utterances that come through the Spirit. That's why Paul says that when I spoke to you, you know, that when I spoke to the Gentiles, it wasn't with, you know, with much verbosity or, you know, trying to use the eloquence of men, but it was with the demonstration of the power of God, and that God worked holy emotions in the hearts of men. When utterance is given, we understand who Christ is. When utterance is given, then we can demystify, then we can explain to people who Christ is. And beyond that, the people can understand. Why? Because the words become spirit and life. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are not just merely words, but they are spirit and life. There is a language that God gives us that we communicate spirit. When Peter was speaking to the people, as he was speaking, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon them. There is a ministration that comes when we communicate Christ, that it becomes just beyond words. It becomes an impartation of the Spirit. And that's why Paul says, these things I have transmitted to Paul and to Apollos in a figure. I have transfigured, and I long to see that I may impart in you some spiritual gifts. You know, I was listening to some clip where they were saying how these musicians are saying that no music on is just done music for the sake of music. That even, and these are secular artists, they were saying that even as you listen to those secular music, they've already done incantations in those music, that as you listen to it, you're participating in satanic rituals. That they have brought you into it. And you think that it is just a normal song that you're listening to, but you are a participator in something that they are bringing. So they are administering spirits to you. Likewise for us too, when we are in the Spirit of God, when we are receiving the utterance, the words that are not coming from man, but they are coming from the Spirit of God, we are also receiving the ministration of the spirits in our hearts. That is why when you have received the word of God, there is an expression of peace, there is an expression of power, there is an expression of wisdom and clarity that comes from us and that comes from God, that when we hear, we receive, and we receive that expression of life. And Paul cries out and says, pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may be able to boldly communicate the mystery of the gospel, these truths, these teachings, even though I am in chains. Yes, there are those who will think that Paul was in chains, so he was locked up. But he said, even though I am in chains, the gospel of Christ is not in chains. It continues to bear fruit. Even though men seek to pervert the truth, even though men seek to fight the gospel, you can see all that is happening, the persecution of the Christians, the blatant killing of Christians. You know, you see this and you're like, oh God, where is it? Where? What is this? You know, I was broken, and Christ just tells me, you know, on the earth we see such pain, but then Christ told me that it is such glorification. To us, we see it as such persecution, such disappointment, such wickedness. Oh, how so much of men are so much against the cross, the Christ. But then in heaven, it is such glorification, such witness, such a celebration of martyrs that even when Stephen was being killed, the Bible says, Jesus stood up. He said that I saw Christ standing. He was ready to receive him. So as you even see those clips, yes, from a human side we cry. But from the Christ perspective, there is rejoicing in heaven as these men are being welcomed into heaven. Do not be disappointed. Do not be disappointed. Do not be broken at the suffering of the believers, at the persecution, as they are destroyed, as they are killed, as they are slaughtered like chicken. But just think about it, how in heaven they are being received as martyrs, as heroes. They are being received as those that have overcome, those that have conquered by the blood of Jesus, those that have even shed their blood. Those are the ones that in the throne of heaven, they are dressed in white. And they ask, how long, and say, these are the souls of those who died, who shed their blood, who are persecuted, who are killed for the sake of the gospel. They will always be before the throne of the Father, dressed in white, and he's always ready to receive them. So utterance is a place of boldness by which we speak by the Spirit of God not in words taught by humans, but in words taught by the Spirit. And when we receive it, we communicate the truths of the gospel. We communicate the Spirit and life. And I pray, our prayer is that the saints will understand and that we too will also be able to release this life, the life of Christ, the Logos, the divine expression of the Christ. That's why you can see why Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 16:8 that I will tarry in Pentecost. I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost because a great and effective door has been opened to me, yet there are many adversaries. He knew that a door had been opened to him. In doors there is opposition. There are adversaries in doors. In windows there are blessings. The challenge with windows, when the blessings come, no one can stop them, yes, but devourers can come, so we need to rebuke the devourers. Anyway, all these things are from Christ, and I pray that God will give us more insight, more understanding, and more grace. You're welcome, my brothers and sisters.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel. I have no addition now. I'm on the streets actually, ready for the run.
No worries, no worries. Yeah, it's good. Right. It's good. It's good. God bless.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for your power. Thank you that, Lord, you are speaking to us in a language that we understand. Thank you for your glory. The Lord, you have purposed that indeed utterance shall be given to us. And I thank you for every minister, every person that needs a language, be it a language in the marketplace, be it a language in the church, in ministry, that, Lord, you grant it to them, that even as we pray, that, Lord, your expression, your life shall be ministered through us and for the glory of God. We honor, we exalt you, and we give you glory. May your name be lifted up on high. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Shalom. Blessed, blessed day.